Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. I've had an interesting weekend. My youngest daughter's grandchildren have been with us. I got to the church this morning at 4 o'clock. Couldn't get here soon enough. Spent all day yesterday unlocking doors. The youngest one going around locking all the doors in the house. And then I decided I'd watch a football game. We couldn't find a remote anywhere. They were in the trash cans. And we finally got into bed last night. I got up this morning to go in the kitchen and make a pot of coffee. We couldn't find a coffee pot anywhere. So I'm putting an additional money in the offering plate this morning. No, they're fun to be with. And I also want to comment on this advertisement on the back of your bulletin, youth ministry t-shirts. I notice adults are charged more than the youth. Maybe that's because we have to wear more material. But what Ben didn't tell you is what's on the front of that t-shirt. And on the front of that t-shirt is a picture of Ben and Drew. And I'm sure that will increase sales tremendously. So you'll want to get one.
That's fake news.
Do what?
Fake news.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Revelation. I want you to know this is not an easy sermon to preach this morning, but it's biblical. It comes right out of God's word. And it just reminds us that God is a loving God. He's a just God. God hates sin. And because of sin, he has to punish sin. And so there is a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's in your Bible. And then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from its presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the book. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. The death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. There have been many times when I was called to the hospital to meet with a family member, someone's family member who, for whatever reason, had never made a profession of faith, and for whatever reason, had never wanted to follow Christ, didn't want to be a Christian, didn't want anything to do with the church. And they're certainly entitled to that choice because we choose our destiny. And yet many times in those waning moments, they would call and say, would you come to the hospital and sit and talk and meet with this individual? And I remember a minister telling the story about a time that he went to the hospital and there was a man there, we'll call him Frank. And they sat down together and they were talking, and the man's life was ebbing away, maybe just a couple of days of life left, but he knew he was dying, and so did the minister. And he asked him the question. He said, Frank, are you afraid to die? And the man kind of rose up and indignantly said, let me tell you something. I have faced death many times on the battlefields, and I was never afraid. I have faced it since then, and I was not scared. I'm no coward. So why would you insult me in my dying hour? And the minister responded by saying, John, Frank, are you prepared for what comes after death? And the man took a deep breath and said, oh, that is what frightens me. I'm afraid of that which comes after death. The man who or woman who is not a Christian might fear what comes after death. They may be as brave as they can be and face the dangers of the world, but it's another matter entirely when we face the God whom they have spurned in the land where God deals with judgment. A man would be a fool not to have fears as he faces death without a Savior. Today, people like to pry into the future. They'll spend thousands of dollars on fortune tellers and palm readers and quack prophets. But you don't need to go to a fortune teller and you don't need to have your palm read to learn about future life. We have the Bible. It's God's Word. It tells us exactly what comes after death. In fact, the book, as we know it, is divine authority, and we're told after death there comes a judgment. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, many people have a confused picture about judgment day. They picture Christ seated on a throne with every person who has ever lived standing before that throne. And they have this idea that Jesus is going to judge these people as to salvation, sending some to the right, sending some to the left, sending some to heaven, sending some to hell. But that is not a true biblical concept. Man doesn't wait until he stands before the judgment seat to be pronounced saved or lost. He is saved or lost right here on earth with what he or she does with Jesus Christ in their lifetime. The Bible doesn't talk about a judgment where saints and sinners will be judged at the same time. The saved man appears before the judgment seat of Christ, and there his works are judged and his rewards are determined. But he's saved before he gets there. He's saved because on this earth, he was born again by making Jesus Christ Lord of his life. Later, the lost man appears before the great white throne judgment where Christ judges him according to his evil works and where that degree of punishment will be determined. The Bible says he is cast into the lake of fire, but he's lost before he gets there because on earth he rejected a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your salvation comes in this world or not at all. The great question of today is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Your answer to that determines your destiny. Accept him and you'll stand before the judgment seat and receive your reward. But reject him and you'll stand before the great white throne judgment and receive your condemnation. Now that's in your Bible. Most of you have studied that in Sunday school. You know what I'm talking about. In other words, you choose your own judgment. You choose your own destiny. You choose whether your resurrection will be into eternal life or whether it will be into eternal death. So I want us to think about that this morning, this great white throne judgment of the unsaved. It is certain. Even today, judgment is going on everywhere. You can't violate the laws of nature without suffering. There's no mercy in nature. You violate her laws and you pay the price. Our hospitals are filled with people who have violated the laws of God and are suffering because of it. Put your finger in the fire, guess what? You'll get burned. Lie and you become a liar. Steal and you become a thief. Judgment goes on right now. Two men get in a fight. They go and rob a bank. They get on the internet and swindle people out of money. There's a judgment coming. There's a path of virtue that pays for the rest of our life if we choose that path. Judgment is going on. But there's a greater judgment day. Every civilized country has some sort of justice system. They have courts and judges that try lawbreakers, and because they break the law, they're punished for that. Why? Because our nature demands justice and judgment. You hear it all the time. I demand justice. And so when we make bad mistakes, when we make bad decisions, and we get in trouble, there is justice and there is judgment that comes. You know, God has that in nature, and God puts that in us. So here's a man who deals in drugs, becomes rich because of it. His poor victims become poor. They lose their jobs. They lose their homes. They lose their souls. Wives weep in sorrow. Children are deprived of life necessities, and homes are broken up. Is there not to be a judgment for that individual? Another man leads a girl into ruin and sacrifices her upon the altar of lust. As sure as God lives, is there not a judgment for that individual? Another man joins the church, but he's still on the devil's side, so to speak. He does the devil's work. He tries to ruin the church, breaks up his fellowship. I'd rather meet God from outside of the church than to meet him on the, as a church member who played the hypocrite and betrayed him as Judas did. Do you think that people will go free because of that? I believe that God's word tells us there is a judgment reserved for sinners. In some of the pulpits and schools of the land, there are preachers, yes. There are professors who deny the inspiration of Scripture. They deny the divinity of Christ. And they lead people down a path of unbelief. There have been college students who wrote home to parents and said, "Now that I'm in college, I've learned some things that y'all never taught me, and what I learned in Sunday school and church I no longer want to be a part of." It's okay if you believe that. It's okay if you continue to go. But I have learned something entirely different. Is there not a judgment for those who lead those astray? Man may escape judgment here, but they can't escape God's judgment in the hereafter. The Bible says he will bring sinners to judgment. Now, aside from reason, the Bible teaches us that there will be a time of judgment. God is a God of love, yes, but he's also a God of justice, yes. When Adam and Eve sinned, he drove them out of the Garden of Eden, did he not? God branded Cain after Cain murdered Abel. He drowned the world in a flood. He burnt the cities of the plains. He overthrew many nations, all because of sin. He still punishes sin. He says in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, and I changeth not." Ecclesiastes 11:9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine own heart, and in the sight of thine own eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." You are a free moral agent. So am I. You can live as you please, so can I. But God calls us to remember there will be an accounting day. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will be accountable for." There was an unbeliever who was dying in the hospital. He said, "I could die in peace if I could really believe the Bible was false." But the Bible isn't false. It's true. It is there to warn you. As sure as you live, as sure as God lives, you will be brought to judgment if you don't repent of your sins and come to Jesus Christ. The Bible plainly teaches there is a judgment for sinners. We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all choose wrong sometimes. We think wrong. We act wrong. We do wrong. But as Christians, we realize that God forgives us of our sins and we can be forgiven. So what is the nature of this judgment? Well, it's an appointed day. Acts 17:31 says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. God makes appointments and he never fails to keep those appointments. He appointed the day and the night. And they come with clock like precision. He appointed the sun and the moon and the stars, and they're never out of place. He appointed the seasons. They come regularly: winter, spring, summer, fall. It just goes on and on and on. And he has an appointed day where he will judge men, and he will keep that appointment. Sometimes people commit crimes and they escape, never to be apprehended. But trust me, they cannot escape God's judgment. He will keep that appointment. And it's the day of Christ. Today is man's day, a day of inventions, a day of improvements, a day of industry, the internet. Man flies through the heavens, sails across the seas, circles in outer space around the globe. This is man's day. But the Bible says Christ's day is coming. You can do as you please now. You can trample him underfoot. You can spit in his face. You can laugh at him. But when God's day comes, the man of sorrow will be the man of wrath. And the gentle Jesus will be our judge. And the crucified Christ will be our crowned king. And you'll face him if you haven't made Christ Lord of your life. It will be a day of wrath. Today, there's grace and there's mercy. But not then. Today you can cry out to God and God will reach down and touch your heart and save you. And that day your cry will be too late and never heard. God offers you today tenderness and forgiveness. And at the great white throne judgment, you'll only find fiery indignation and judgment. And it will also be the last day. That's what the Bible teaches us. Time will have ended. And every opportunity for salvation will be over. God's people, His saints, will be dwelling in everlasting joy and bliss, while Satan's people, the lost sinners, will be standing before this great white throne awaiting judgment and damnation. So who's the judge of all of this? Well, Acts 17:31 tells us that the judge will be the man whom God raised from the dead, His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you some things about this judge. First of all, He's omniscient, or omnipresent. He's everywhere. His eyes run to and fro throughout the earth. He sees everything. And when you stand before the great white throne, He'll say, "I was there when you did that evil. I saw you do that wrong. Darkness cannot hide you. You can't go deep enough, high enough, or wide enough that I can't find you." He is there. He is always there. He's everywhere. And He's omniscient. He knows everything. In this world, a man sometimes is convicted because of what we call circumstantial evidence. Well, he won't be that way at judgment. He knows the true facts of every case. He knows how men have gone on in their sins, rejecting Him, and He knows the punishment they deserve. But He's also omnipotent. He has all power. A criminal may commit a crime, flee the country where he escapes the penalty of his crime. But he can't do that when God's judgment falls. With His mighty power, He will bring all sinners to judgment. And even if God has to burn the world and shift the ashes, the Bible says He will bring lost men to face the judgment of the great white throne. His arm is mighty today to save you, to receive you, to accept you. But then He will be the omnipotent judge. So who will be judged? No Christian will be judged because their judgment has passed. The ones to be judged are those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not just the bad people, not just the deep-eyed sinners, but all who have left Christ out of their hearts and lives, they will be there. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." These are the ones that will be judged at the great white throne. There are many evil people named in this list, but notice one. It says the unbelievers. However good you may be, if you're an unbeliever, you're included. Your name may be written on the church rolls, and you may have attended all your life, but if you haven't been born again, you will stand before this group, before the great white throne. It's not a question of your goodness or your works. It's a question of whether you've ever been born again. Have you ever made a profession of faith? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and accepted Him and to the best of your ability live for Him? See, God has such intimate respect for all of us that He gives us the opportunity to make our own choices. You can meet Christ here and be saved, or you can meet Him in the day of judgment and be cast into the lake of fire. He'll receive you right now. He loves you. His Son died for you. He wants you. He says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." But in that day, He will cast out all who stand before Him. That throne, that great white throne, is vacant now. But the mercy throne is occupied. It is a throne of compassion, and it's seated with a loving Savior. And at that throne, you will find grace and forgiveness and salvation. But when you stand before the great white throne judgment, the day of mercy will be over and the day of condemnation will have begun. You take your choice. You either be wise or be a fool. And I would say to you, choose Jesus Christ today. Choose Him today. Choose Him today. How many times have we said, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, I'll put it off tomorrow? Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. You're not promised a tomorrow. You're not promised an afternoon. You're not promised you're going to leave this church in about 10 minutes. Most of us think we will. What did the Bible say? He comes like a thief in the night. We're not expecting Jesus to come back today. We hadn't even thought about it. But He comes like a thief in the night. You come to this service, you hear the gospel, you feel God's Holy Spirit knocking at your door, but you go away making your decision, not for Christ, I'll do it later. You go away lost, you go away condemned. And on that faithful day when you stand before the great white throne judgment, you'll look back over your life and you'll remember how you rejected Christ and I had the opportunity to become a Christian. And I'll think, I was so near and yet so far, I was nearly saved, but I never did make that decision. Y'all believe what I'm talking to y'all about? Yeah. It's not meant to scare you. It's just meant to help you understand that there's a justice system. It's God's justice system. He wants to reward you in heaven. And the last thing He wants to do is cast you into the lake of fire. Don't leave here today. If you're not a Christian, make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. It speaks to us so clearly. It reminds us of who You are, what You have done for us, what Your Son did for us, and His willingness to die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sins. Search our hearts. Lord, we know we're not everything we ought to be. We know we fail. We know we fall short. We know we make poor decisions sometimes, but we're so grateful that You are a God of mercy and grace and love, and You forgive us and put us back on our path to get back to doing everything You would have us to do. Speak to us this morning. Give us the strength to step out and say yes to Jesus, who said yes to the old rugged cross. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Your hymn of invitation is found on the front page of your bulletin. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let's stand together and let's sing.